connect and help with the right intention. For the most part, Sam, I think people have got it the wrong way around in the industry. They're looking first for the money. You got it first to help people, like genuinely help people. When you do that, the money will come.
You are listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Many of you in some way will have heard of Mark and Lisa Novak of Novak Properties on Sydney's Northern Beaches. Mark Novak established Novak in 2002 at the age of 23. He is a DY local and has more than 20 years of real estate experience under his belt. Lisa Novak had a 20-plus year career in marketing before joining Mark in the business as general manager, but recently she found too that she has a talent and a love for selling real estate. Novak Properties now employ more than 45 staff, manage over 1,500 properties, and last year unveiled a brand new headquarters that is more like a hotel than your traditional real estate office. With a top-of-the-range espresso machine and a fresh antipasto bar, clients are pretty keen to hang out, but that is not where the innovation stops for the Novaks. In this podcast, you're going to hear about some of the strategies that made Novak the name on everyone's lips. We're going to dig into how they began their business and how their competitive culture keeps things fresh and what their plans are for the future. I hope you enjoy the episode, and if you do, please share it with your industry colleagues and, of course, hit that iTunes subscribe button. Now, if you're out walking or driving, we want you to relax and enjoy the podcast, and besides, it's kind of difficult to write notes if you happen to be doing either. So we've done the work for you, and for about a week you can download a free action guide for this podcast at eliteagentelevate.com. These action guides are all the best value bombs from all of our guests in bullet point form. No fluff, no SEO fillers, no junk, just the very, very, very best stuff from this episode. And with the Novaks, there are a lot of light bulb moments that you might want to implement along with those things that you are going to want to remember. So grab those notes quickly at eliteagentelevate.com. One of the other things you'll find in this show is that the Novaks are very big on social media. If you struggle with what to do, there is a great editorial resource by a gal called Angie Gensler. It's a social media calendar that we've talked about a couple of times in the brief. At last count, this calendar has about 765 ideas for social media for the rest of this year and all of 2020 on an easy-to-download Google Sheet editorial calendar. This is something we use ourselves and love because it saved us hours of time and effort in thinking about what to post. So, if you're inspired by the Novaks and want to get stuck into your social media strategy with some regular, consistent posting, then it really is worth checking out. Links on eliteagentelevate.com. That's it from me. There is something for everyone in this episode, even singing. Enjoy. So welcome to the podcast, Mark and Lisa Novak.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Excited.
Well, it's awesome to have you. And it's like we've had a lot of people in here on their birthdays. Oh, and we know somebody here is having a birthday.
Yeah, 70 today.
70. And you don't look a day over fabulous.
No. Thank you.
I don't believe you're 70 either. So you guys have been a major success on the Northern Beaches, and Novak Properties are well known to us because we've had one of your property managers on our cover, Branka.
Yes, oh, correct.
Beautiful lady.
Yeah, amazing story there. So I'm keen to dig in with you. What is your story? How did you start Novak Properties? Because I know that you started in effect without Lisa. So give it to us from the beginning. How did you start?
I was a high volume sales rep in a franchise in Freshwater and worked with some phenomenal guys. So in our network, there were 700 reps and we were 1, 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. And I was number one in volume. I was number one in dollars and I was 21.
That's so young.
He was young. And I distinctly remember a conversation I had with Lisa on the balcony, and she was saying, "Why don't you do your own real estate thing?" And I'm saying, like, no way. No way. Like, what for? Like, talk about things are going good. Why do we want to mess things up? You know, we're doing what we want. And at that time, I was living at home, bought property along the way, and so invested, but just not a remote chance. And the opportunity came up where I was sort of forced to do that. And that's when Novak started in 2002.
So how long have you been in real estate all up, Mark?
1993.
Wow. Okay. So you've seen a few cycles too.
Yep.
Yep. Interesting. And Lisa, you've been in the business for about 18 months and you're a bit of a shooting star. So tell us how you joined the business.
So I actually came into the business at its inception, always in the background of the business. First in a marketing capacity, because marketing's always been my background, and then later on moving into more of a general manager type position, and 18 months ago, jumped into sales headfirst.
Yeah, interesting. So tell me, we interviewed you briefly for We Are Real Estate, which was our cover story for the last issue. So tell me a little bit about your first listing, because it was a great story.
Yeah, it was a fun story. So I had literally decided overnight that I was going to take the plunge and move straight into the sales department.
Yep.
So I had moved my chair straight over, the telephone rang, and it happened to be a landlord who said, "Look, we need to sell our property." And I said, "Great, I can help you." It was 7 o'clock at night. Long story short, I'd very quickly put together a proposal. They were on the Central Coast, so I'd sent it off to them via SMS. And I said, "Look, why don't we go through it over the telephone?" So at 9:30 at night, I was going over it with them on the telephone. Woke up the next morning and I had a signed agreement in my inbox. Mark was in the shower and I screamed the house down. Mark came running out of the shower and said, "What's wrong?" I said, "You won't believe it. I just got my first listing." Honestly, I had tears in my eyes. I couldn't believe it. So it was at that stage, Sam, that I thought, you know, I'm definitely in the right place here.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think, given it was your first listing, what won that person over? Like, how did you win that one?
You know, it's almost like this pent-up passion that I've had pretty much since I left school. I've always had a desire to want to get into real estate sales. And it's almost like someone who has wanted to be a dancer their whole life and all of a sudden they felt like they were dancing on the stage. So it's something that I've wanted to do for so long that that was my moment. Yeah, I was ready for it.
What's interesting about you, Lisa, too, is that you do have a background in marketing. And when we were just talking before, you were saying that when you came into the business, you weren't sort of thinking like a traditional real estate agent that had been around for a number of years. What were some of the things that you looked at and thought, I could do this so much better?
The great thing was, or is, that I've come into it at a mature age. I'm 47. So I've come into it at a mature age.
You don't
age.
Look a day over fabulous either.
Doesn't take long to work out what's going on here between Mark and I. But yes, I'm 47. And look, the great thing is that I've come into it with a mature set of eyes and also a fresh set of eyes. And having done that allowed me to almost have this confidence that I could confidently come in and see things that I just felt weren't right in the industry. And let me give you an example. Within our business, we've always been innovative, and I know we're going to touch on that shortly, but it was more than that. I couldn't understand why we were doing open homes on Wednesdays during the day.
Yeah.
It was little things. It wasn't anything great. It was small things. And I said to Mark, "Sorry, why does the industry do Wednesday open homes when no one can come? Why we're not doing these in the evening? Because people work during the day."
Yeah.
And so it was just these little shifts. And also I saw that everyone was doing the same stuff. Everyone, all the agents out there for the most part were doing the same things. And I thought, what if we just made these small shifts and we could just change things up a little bit and make things a little bit easier for people?
So I've read too about your 24/7, I'm open 24/7. Give me a bit of a background on how that came about.
It's my birthday. The big thing with us, and it's an ethos that I was taught right up from the beginning in my old agency, we always used to have pages. And we had a wonderful system in the office where first to serve the client got the business. And it was ferociously competitive. And everyone started on that competitiveness and everyone finished on that competitiveness. So it was diplomatic because everyone had the same tools. So we had a pager system, and the pager system used to ring for an inquiry that came through out of business hours. First person that took that inquiry got that inquiry. Now, once you actually got that inquiry, you then had to send a message to the group saying, I've got this inquiry on the pager system.
Yeah.
So that worked incredibly well, and clients were absolutely astounded that they were getting a call back so fast by a real estate agent. Sometimes they got two or three of us ringing because we hadn't actually read the message come through and saying, I got it. That was the great pretext to the showing of the property for sale or the listing of the property for appraisal. And people just thought we were just killers with service. So that started very early, and that resonated throughout our business and still does today. And people love the service. Real simple.
So it's not a pager today, it's a mobile phone. But if someone were to call you, Lisa, at 10 o'clock at night and say, I want to look at something, how would you handle that?
I'll tell you a scary fact. I had a look at my screen time on my iPhone last night. You know, you can look at your screen time on your iPhone, and mine was sitting at almost 19 hours.
Wow. For the day.
Yeah. I looked at it and thought, when the hell did I sleep? The reality of it is we are available 24 hours a day, and how are we doing it? So, you know, we've got our sales agents, and as Mark said, you know, we're camping on these inquiries. If one person's not getting it, another is. We've got this open policy within our office. We're online with our chat. So we have online chat that's available 24/7. 90% of the time you'll get me answering that. And that could be anywhere from a tenant who's locked out to someone who wants a property appraised. And social media. Social media makes us available 24 hours a day. People can contact us via LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and to our office number that will ring through to our mobile phone. So we are heavily available 24/7.
So if someone rings the sales number in our office, it camps on every single agent's mobile simultaneously. First person answers it, gets it. And the same with email inquiries. It's how we work. When an email inquiry comes in, it comes through on Lisa's listing, for instance, it'll go through to Lisa, but people don't realize it CCs through to the entire sales team. If Lisa doesn't take that inquiry in 9 minutes, the sales team does. So again, people get a response all the time straight away. Lisa's cool because she knows, you know what, I couldn't get it in 9 minutes. I was doing X or Y or Z to present to a client or eating a pizza or whatever, watching a movie. And then she knows her time will come around. So next time she's on the couch and she wants to take an inquiry out of business hours, she's straight on it. Beautiful system.
Yes. I've just got a dispute on that. I can't remember the last time I've watched a movie with my screen time sitting at 19 hours.
I thought you were about to dispute the pizza, yeah.
Look, the reality of it is, Sam, if people are taking more than 24 hours to get a response, it is simply too long. That's it.
Yep, it's
gone.
You're
not going to use them to sell.
Yeah. I went to a conference in America, actually, last year, and they were saying that the recommendation was to follow up the lead pretty much straight away. Like, the lead hits your inbox, and a lot of people kind of hang off it and think, well, I don't want to look like a stalker or anything like that, but, you know.
Look, the reality of it is these days, how quick can you get an Uber? How quick can you get some Chinese food delivered? Why should real estate be any different?
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
Yep.
So 18 months in business and you've shaken things up, really, definitely not just on the Northern Beaches, but all around Australia, people are kind of looking at you guys for you. Actually, well, here's another one, your 3-minute appraisal.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Okay. So Mark devised this wonderful strategy and I heavily, heavily promote it, whereby you can SMS us your address, so we will promote the campaign that within 3 minutes we can appraise your property. All we need you to do is text us your address, and within 3 minutes we will come back to you with an estimation of value on your property.
So what happens if someone SMSs you right now while you're on this podcast and says, I want a 3-minute appraisal?
Someone else will grab it.
Yeah. Okay.
Someone else will grab it. So we're constantly camping on these inquiries. We are not going to let a potential vendor or buyer slip through the cracks because we simply cannot service something. There's no excuse these days.
Mm.
We're all walking around with these mobile devices. There is no reason why you cannot call someone back within an hour, why you cannot respond to an email or an SMS.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to me you're fairly well established in your business now, even though you've only been really going in Novac properties for such a short time. What would you say some of the major challenges that you had along the way?
Look, I think there's lots of little challenges. You know, for instance, there's the changes from hard copy media to the portals. There's the changes from the portals to social. And to isolate one perfect example of something that we're currently dealing with, or arm wrestling or struggling or challenging us at the moment, is Facebook Marketplace. Facebook made a change, I think about 11 days ago, where they introduced the category property for sale and property for rent, whereas you could put a property up previously, but you didn't have a category to annex it to a property category. Mm. So dealing with that is interesting in our business, and you sort of got to muddle your way through it. Necessity is the mother of invention, so you've got to invent your way around it. And one of the things we found is your business page on social media doesn't allow you to upload a Facebook Marketplace property. So we've got 45 properties for rent in property management residential. We've got 102 for rent in commercial. How the hell do you get that on Facebook Marketplace when you can't go through Novak Properties and it can't go through Mark Novak Novak Properties? So those sort of challenges is a perfect example. And how we do that is just keep arm wrestling through it and reinventing.
Yeah. So where do you think Facebook is going with all of that?
Massive question. Looking at your phone, looking at screen time, have a look where you invest your time. And I think you'll find the top three categories or apps that you're spending your time in, that's where you want your property media to be. That's where you want all your media to be. And that's really your channel. It's your personal channel. You've built that channel around you. So I think Facebook tends to be probably number one on most people's screen time on their phone. And if it is number one, you're doing your social, you're doing your catching up with friends, you're doing your passive shopping, they know what you want, and then that's going to work its way into property. So if you're spending 20 hours a week or 10 hours a week on social media, and this is not a bashing of portals, but how much time are you actually getting off that Facebook or Insta and then switching over to the portal to have a look what's in there? It's maybe half an hour in the portal and maybe 20 hours on Facebook. So where do you want your property? You sort of want it on Facebook. So I think there's going to be a pretty quick morph over to that fast.
Yeah, interesting question. I mean, I'm not a good example of this because I deleted Facebook from my phone earlier this year.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it was getting too distracting and Facebook have had all those privacy issues and things like that.
But is it just Facebook or are you still on Instagram or LinkedIn? Because chances are we can catch you on another channel.
Yeah, I am still on Instagram and LinkedIn. Yeah. Yeah.
So chances are we'll get you on another channel.
I've come back to Twitter for Survivor. Have you?
And Facebook and Insta.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any data capturing, mining, analytics, any of that stuff that's being plugged into Facebook is morphing across to Insta and Insta to Facebook. So
yeah.
They gotcha.
Yeah, it's the matrix, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's next for you guys? So you've been very innovative and you're known for being innovative. What's in the crystal ball? What's cooking?
So 2 years ago, we built a phenomenal office, and that was a big dream for us to build an office that simply didn't exist in real estate world or in the country. And just to give listeners an idea of what that might look like, it's a 6-meter antipasto bar. It's got an indoor garden.
Antipasto
bar? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. You know, we've got a full-time lady there that serves food complimentary to clients and to the community, serves food, makes coffees. I mean, it's a real hub. And for us, it was, we saw that where the real estate world was heading, or for us, and it was heading into the digital era. And so we needed to make sure that that human interaction was still there. That was really important, because in this big digital era, people seem to forget that you still need to have this human interaction. So the office is done and it's doing really, really well. We love the facility and everyone loves the facility. For the future, it's digital. That's the way forward for us. We've invested heavily into it again for the last couple of years. We've invested heavily into that whole digital platform.
So virtual reality and things like that?
More on a social media platform, Sam. So we're really forging forward with our social media presence across all platforms. So Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. We've been educating ourselves on it, so we're not just stabbing in the dark with it. In fact, we had this conversation the other day, are we a multimedia company or a real estate agency? And we've come to the realization that we're actually both these days.
I would agree with that. I've been thinking,
Look at where we're sitting now for a magazine.
Yeah.
You guys are a multimedia hub.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're a media platform, and I think definitely agents have got to start thinking more like digital marketers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the way that you'll bring leads in the future will be very different.
Well, 3 to 4 hours a day and I'm sure I can speak on behalf of Mark and a number of staff members, is spent on social media. Mm. And it's funny, we had a laugh last night. We were doing our own video that we do every Monday night, and we were laughing that just a few years ago, we would say to staff members, are you on Facebook? Off Facebook. This is work time now, you know. Yep. And these days we're like, are you not on Facebook? Okay, you need to be on Facebook. We want you all social media. And, you know, it's how funny it's changed and how quickly it's changed.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. People are struggling to keep up now.
Yeah, that's huge, because it's an app that's acceptable for a lot of businesses in the marketplace. So if I saw a rep on an app that was not pertaining to real estate, like boat sales, I'd be going, hey, what are you doing? But I think in this marketplace at the moment, it's actually acceptable to be, depending on what industry you're in, it's acceptable to be on social media. But if you're on boat sales or realestate.com or whatever, you might go, hey, what are you doing? You know, this is not part of your industry. So that's another little sly way that social media is getting into the workplace 40 hours a week.
And so much so for real estate that my opinion is that if you're not doing social media, you're potentially a dying commodity as an agent.
Yeah, you've got to put yourself out there digitally one way or the other.
Yeah.
So given that you've been so successful with social media, give me your top three tips. How do you engage people and find clients on social media?
If I can just speak on my behalf, and then maybe Mark can speak on behalf of Novak, of our business. So for me personally, I've been forging forward with selling properties off the back of social media, so much so that I've done 9 deals in the last 2 weeks just off Facebook. And I'm listing them
as
well.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I thought the first one was just a bit of good luck, and then it sort of transpired into the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. The biggest tip I can give, and the easiest tip I can give to people, is consistency, authenticity, and just get over the fear of doing these videos. The biggest issue out there is the issue that the agent has of what everyone else is going to think.
Just that's what we all think.
Don't worry about it. Get over it. It's business. It's not personal. And you've got a job to do.
So what sorts of videos have you been more successful with? And we'll get to you, Mark, in a moment, because I can see you writing things down.
That's a rare thing. What sort of videos? You'd be shocked at how raw and unscripted these videos are. Still professional, don't get me wrong, but we're not as much these days doing the professional style of video with our videographer.
Yeah.
We do still do those, don't get me wrong, but I would say 90% of the time we're just doing these raw unscripted
ones. So you're just doing a bit of a walkthrough.
Get your video on. Yeah, walkthrough, lots of live content, Facebook Live, Insta Live, lots of live content. Just literally turning our phones on and just going for it. I don't even know what I'm saying. And it's better that way, as in I haven't got a script.
Mm.
It's better that way because you're on the spot. We're agents.
Yeah.
If we don't understand what a property is about, then you shouldn't be an agent. Turn your phone on and just go for it. You know exactly what you need to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark.
It's my birthday. So to answer your question, top three tips that I'd recommend, and probably more from the brand level with our agents, live content rips it. So, you know, I would say it's probably close to 10 to 1 with interaction, 10 to 1 with impressions and stuff like that. So that's just a massive, massive thing people got to do. Lisa's brought up a good point. You got to get used to yourself looking stupid. So I think if you think you look good on video, you got a problem anyway. So, so get used to it. The consistent real stuff. So pieces that we're doing that are live, we do them at consistent times. So we do on a Monday night, we do a Novak News, and then on a daily in the morning at 7:45, I do a traffic talk, Minutes with Novak, which we talk about pieces. And as a group with our agents, we share a WhatsApp group that's called Novak News, and everyone puts in pieces that they want to talk about, and that's what we will talk about that's relevant to people. The biggest one is helping people. So the dialogue that we have every day with people as real estate agents must be amplified out in the marketplace. If it's not, it's a secret. So if people are calling you all day asking the same bloody questions, then why aren't you broadcasting those answers to the marketplace? And we've got that ability through all of our channels. In 28 days, we go out to over 2.4 million. We got 2.4 million impressions as a real estate agency. One real estate agency in DY is doing 2.4 million impressions. That's aggregating our reps and their data. But when we're putting stuff out, it multiplies. So the simple stuff, those simple answers.
And it's free.
Mm. Yeah, you can't beat free, can you?
Let's rewind 5 years ago, and to get that kind of viewership out of Channel 7, 9 or 10, I'd hate to think. I mean, we all know what it costs these days just to put an ad into the newspaper. To get that kind of viewership and be putting that out onto a TV station is a fortune. This is all for free.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about it that way.
There's hurdles and they are not for free. So those hurdles are feel silly, look silly, you know, get some balls, get consistent and have that. We're not the free anymore with money, but certainly with time. This is costing us a fortune in time, the digital footprint. So it's free dollars, but certainly
it's
not
a good
time
yeah.
and having a go and getting out there and getting that dialogue prepared.
You know, the good news is for anyone that's listening is that for the first year and a half, we actually wondered if anyone was actually watching our social media.
Still do.
Us too.
Yeah, right. Because, and I know that Instagram's just removed this feature, but if we had to go off the likes that we were getting,
yeah.
I mean, it's embarrassing how many likes I would get per video or per photo or whatever it may be. So if that was the gauge, we would have stopped a long time ago. It was only that sort of a year and a half into it, people were stopping us on the street and saying, oh, my God, you guys, I love what you do. It's so great.
A lot.
And so we were like, hang on a second.
It's all the lurkers.
Yeah.
Instead of likers, right. They're lurkers.
And that's right. The reality of it. Now, yeah. The lady that bought one of the properties that I was talking about a moment ago with one of my social media posts, I had never seen her on my Facebook. I didn't even know that we were connected in any way. Yet she had contacted me through Facebook and said, I love the property that you've just done a video on. When can I view it? Okay. Never seen her, never interacted with her on there. Now, we did know each other outside of Facebook, but she'd never commented, never liked. They're out there and they are watching. We've done the homework for you is what I'm trying to say. It works.
Yeah.
So when we talk about impressions or we talk about interactions, two very, very different things, because it's an impression that sold the property. An interaction is, hey, I love this. Can you tell me more? Which is, you know, we still got a hell of a lot of interactions off the number sitting somewhere. But, yeah, the impressions is big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just a bit of practical advice here for people that might be listening. You've both said that the investment in time is difficult and also, like, let's just call it head trash. The head trash about, you know, actually getting on live video is also an issue. How do you both get over that? How did you both get over that? Is it enough to think about the next listing, like, because you know it works, or do you have any practical tips for?
Once you get over the fear, it just becomes enjoyable after that because you feel like you can actually start to add value to people. You can help people and you can make a difference and you can do that instantly. That for me was how I got over it. I just thought this is not about me. This is about everyone else. And so if I'm able to get your property, let's say, up and online and it's not going to cost you anything, that's not about me. This all of a sudden is about you. So yeah. I started just turning it around and having a different perspective rather than, oh, my God, I look ridiculous. Look at my hair. I look fat. What was I thinking wearing that? That's not what it's about. This is not about me.
And one thing you do really well, Lise, is you get into the prospective purchaser's necessity, the mind, what they're after. So when you're pitching your vendor's property, you're actually pitching it really well to the prospective purchaser, like things that you can't see on the video that I want to tell you that you're going to love. And then, you know, you go forward on your seat and listen more. So I think, yes, it's interacting. That's the bottom line. But do you tend to coerce people to interact with you well? And I think that's important.
Mm. Yeah. And just to add to that, you can put your own spin on it. It's your own TV channel.
Yeah.
You can put your own spin on it. And so you should, because it should be authentically you. And I feel, again, that the industry is not able to do that when they've got the real estate videographer following them around and there's the slow walking real estate agent, you know, sliding their hand across the kitchen bench.
Hands in the pockets.
Right? And I'm thinking like to myself, hang on a sec, is this about the agent or is this about the property? You can then put your own spin on it because my video, Mark's video, Novak's video can go for 10 minutes if we want it to. It can go for 10 seconds.
Yeah. So I love what you've just said then. I think there's two really big tips there for listeners. One is just keep doing it and the fear
subsides naturally. Like if you just keep doing it, then it just goes away. And secondly, you just reminded me of a Mel Robbins thing, you know, Mel Robbins' 5-second rule, where basically I think she says that anxiety that you feel in your body is the same chemical as excitement. So instead of feeling anxious, think about how you can help someone and all of a sudden it changes. I remember I've used that technique myself. So I think that's a really great one, is think about how you can help the person that is watching you.
Yeah, that's right. It's not about you. It's about them.
It's about them.
Yeah.
Okay. So using your experiences, both of you, if someone was getting into real estate for the first time now in this interesting environment that we're in with Ubers over here and different property management models coming in over there, what would you recommend, or how do you recommend others prepare for a career in real estate?
Okay. You ready for it?
I am. I'm ready.
It's ready.
It's a big one.
Okay.
Two words. Work hard.
Yeah.
That is it. That is it. First of all, you've got to have.
I thought you were going to say screen time.
That comes. First of all, you've got to have the hunger. You've got to have the hunger. Okay. If you don't have the hunger, get out and go work in some other industry. You've got to find what you love. That's the bottom line. If you're not passionate about it and you're not hungry, go work somewhere else. Okay, then you just got to roll up your sleeves and work hard. It's real, real simple.
And what would you focus on? It's your first month or 2 months in real estate. What are the sort of things that you'd be doing? You know, we've spoken about this a couple of times too, is that there's a lot of lessons out there on how to be a $1 million agent, but there's not enough out there on how to get your first listing, or how to make your first $500, or how to make your first $1,000. So if I was going to optimize the time that I've got now in my first month of real estate, what would I be doing? If I was working for you, which I'd love to, by the way, that office looks amazing.
Okay. First of all, you got to do what feels comfortable. Now, I know the good old golden rule, and certainly it was drummed into my head when I first started in sales, was just prospect, just call people, just prospect, just call people. Now, we've got a database of about 65 to 70,000 people. So when I printed out the database, I did not know where the hell to start. Yeah. I'm not great with cold calling, and it took me about a day to realize that I'm not going to do this. This doesn't resonate with me.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, find something that resonates with you. So for me personally, it was just connecting with people. I liked to talk to people.
Mm.
My whole day comprised of talking to people in one way or another. And so I thought, that's my prospecting. If I can just connect with people and find some way to help them, and it need not even be real estate related, they're going to remember me when it's time to list their property. And so that's how I started. I just thought, what can I do to connect with these people? Now, I might have had a little bit of a head start because I was already involved in our business and I was already involved with a lot of our clients. But I just went out of my way. I'd say to Mark, let's go, we're going for lunch. And I would just walk down the street and tell anyone who would listen, I'm doing sales now, you know, if you know anybody. And then people would call, they'd be, oh, you know, my friend needs to rent a house. Great, I will help them. Yeah. Whatever it took so that I could make that impact and I could help them, and then they would remember me. In fact, just as I was walking in here today, I had someone who contacted me and said, you helped a friend of mine get her property rented. I need my property appraised. It works. Connect and help with the right intention.
Yeah.
Get a prospect, you connect.
Connect.
Stop selling, start helping.
Correct.
Yeah.
So for the most part, Sam, I think people have got it the wrong way around in the industry. They're looking first for the money. You got to first help people, like genuinely help people. When you do that, the money will come.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Mark? If you were going back to day one, which wasn't really that long ago.
Oh, back in 1993, that was. Yes.
1993. I'm just trying to remember what song was number one in 1993.
Oh, I think it was Milli Vanilli.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been. Yeah. Baby,
yeah.
Don't forget my number.
That's it.
Yep.
Yep. What would you do?
So what would I do in this day and age,
yeah,
or back in those days?
So in this day and age, what would you do if it was your first month in real estate?
Build my brand. Wonderfully successful gentleman told me a very long time ago, I asked him for one piece of advice. I think he was one of the country's top 50 wealthiest men.
Yep.
And I was a 20-something-year-old, 22-year-old, and he said, Mark, build your brand. He said, I know what you do and you know what I do, and I'm telling you, you build your brand. So it's very obvious you got to sell real estate. It's very obvious you got to list property. It's very obvious you got to sell property. But along that way, what you stand for while you're moving across those things is super, super important. And there's that saying, it's better to be worth a dollar than to have a dollar. So your personal brand resonates that with clients, and clients will purchase that. And they will ask you and employ your services for that. So when you've got your brand really clear in your head and you're moving forward, so do people.
Yeah.
So you've got to get it clear in your head what your brand is, who you are, and what you stand for. Go forth. And then the whole listing and selling process just sort of happens and from that. And, you know, there's trainers out there that will tell you the basics of what you need to do. That's what we're all doing. But you put your brand behind that, fantastic.
Do you think you need to have a specialty these days? Like, do you have to niche yourself down into, I am a specialist in apartments, or I am a specialist in Federation Homes, or, you know, like, I'm the go-to guy for, no. No, no. I don't know how you're going to answer. I think you've got to be all things to all people.
Yeah, and look, we're all doing the same thing. It's not rocket science, even though we like to think that it is. We're not, as Lisa says, we're not saving people. We're not doctors. But I think that when you turn up opposite a client and three different agents offering the same service, you're in trouble. Do you know what I mean? So if you can say you can hyper-specialize in an industry, well, that's going to be good for you. But is it going to be the saving grace? Probably not. I think you've got to really, when you go into that property, and you've got to have a good, long, hard think about who the guys were that you're up against, genuinely what those guys offered. When you lose that business, really, really dig deep and ask the question. And I had one of our sales reps the other day. He lost the business, and he shaped his questions to the client that he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And I was like, buddy, if you were to learn how you can not ever lose a listing again, you really just want to ask that question genuinely to that client and learn from that, go forth. So I think that we're all doing the same thing. Find your groove and just hammer it. And it's got to be a groove that's faster, stronger, better, smarter than all your competitors.
And also, can I just add to that? And I know that's sort of getting away from what you were asking, Sam, but as vendors generally interviewing 3-4 agents for their property. So if all 3-4 agents are going in and all saying the same stuff, how are they meant to choose?
That's
you know, isn't it refreshing when the agent walks in and says, here I am, I'm going to tell you something different. The only thing that's going to be the same is the value that I'm going to put on your property. But I'm going to tell you something different to what any other agent's told you. Let's talk about a different way to market your property.
That's a great one. I love that.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm going to tell you that's the same as the other agents is the value of your property.
Yep.
Believe it, they're listening. They're all ears, because by the time you've been called in, you might be the first, okay? You might be the fourth. Believe it, they're bored. They don't want to listen to it. I mean, they've done 3-4 hours of listening to this stuff.
Yeah.
And even that I find is quite barbaric these days.
Agent selection should not be about it.
I have to add that in.
It's like water torture, isn't it?
You know, well, who has time these days?
Yeah.
Who has that time? You know, we don't want to wait 15 minutes to get our Chinese meal delivered anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
An agent selection shouldn't have to be a personality quest. You know, which one do I like more? Because they're all doing the same thing. It should genuinely be a service quest. You know, what are these guys doing to leverage that highest price for me genuinely?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you're big fans of social media. Is there any other technology in your business that you couldn't live without?
Oh, my God, that's a Mark question. Okay, so just for everyone out there, our office looks like an Apple store. Anything that is remotely technology-based whatsoever, we do own it. I'm going to flip that over to you, Mr. Technology. We do love our technology, there's no doubt.
The one thing that we could not live without with PC technology would be our coffee machine.
Good answer.
Yep.
Good answer.
It is an animal. And look, one thing that we firmly believe in is if you're using something every day consistently, it's got to be the best. It has to be the best. It's got to be industrious, commercial, strong, can't break it, can't kill it, the best. So, our coffee machine's a bit like that. You know, it's the best in the business. And we drink a lot of coffee.
And also, you know, again, just leading on from that with regards to technology, the amount of questions we would get asked per week about what we use to do our videos, it's actually using the simplest stuff. So just getting back to what Mark said before, if you're using something consistently, it's got to be the best. get yourself the best mobile phone, get yourself the best Apple iPhone if that's what you're using, and just use it. Use your arm because you have that with you all the time and use your phone and don't worry about anything else. Maybe get yourself a lapel mic if you're going to really get right into doing the video stuff just because, you know, it's much clearer.
Yeah.
Keep it real simple.
You need an Elite Agent pop socket too so that you can just get that extra bit of length.
There you go. Yeah. If you've got a short arm like me, that comes in super handy.
Yeah.
AirPods are a big one. Because,
AirPods are huge.
Even if you are doing social media, you can be up to 10 or 20 meters away and broadcasting to your camera while you've got the mic in your ear.
Yeah.
Hot tip.
Put in your AirPods and stand 10 meters away from your camera and do a presentation on your iPhone. It sounds wonderful because it's clear.
We just worked that one out actually the other day. So there you go. Hot tip.
So embarrassing.
That is so good. All right. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions before we sing Mark happy birthday. We'll have to sing him out today. What is the most valuable piece of career advice anyone's ever given you?
Don't worry about what other people think, as in just don't worry about what other people think about what you're doing because everyone's always going to give you their spin.
Generally, you know, most people don't think about you as much as we think they do.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know, it's more in our heads than it is.
Yeah. From a business perspective, everyone likes to put in their 10 cents worth. We will listen. We generally don't take a huge amount of it on board because if everyone's saying you need to do this, we'll actually run the opposite way. We've always been that way.
Mm.
So just don't take on too much of what everyone else is telling you.
Yeah.
And for me personally, that's been a big thing as well in my career. Everyone's like, oh, you must do this. You must prospect. You must do da da da. And I'm like, okay, I just want to be me. Let me just try and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Mark? Best piece of advice?
From a old Greek client of mine when I first opened the doors was keep answering your phone. That's all you have to do to be a success in this business. Mm. I guess that translates to keep answering your social media and your phone and emails in today's world. But, you know, just the reply. People don't care if it's a bad reply or a good reply. It's like a game of tennis. They just want a reply.
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice and very simple advice. Okay, we've talked about a lot of stuff this afternoon. So if there was one thing that you want people to remember, what would it be?
Help people. That's my big thing. Help people. Everything else comes from that. When you just genuinely help people, you'll get the results that you want and you'll feel great about it.
Very true. What about you, Mark?
Really good balance. Just have a great balance and everybody's balance is different. That's the great thing about all of us individually. That balance may be working 15 hours a day and not taking a holiday. That's cool. If you're happy with that and you like that and that's your groove, then good on you. Or if you're the opposite, you only want to work 2 days a week or 3 days a week, get that balance and you never nail it. You always work. It's like a seesaw. It just never levels out perfectly. So keep working on that balance. Actually, I could put it better. A client said to me once, he said, Mark, just focus on the 2%. I said, what 2%? He said, 51%. I said, yeah. And he said, if you're 51% happy and 49% unhappy, that's a really good place because everyone's trying to get to 70 or 80 or 90 or 99% happy. You're never going to get there. So just focus on that 2%. Your life would be great. And, you know, when times are bad, you think of that. You think, that's cool. As long as I'm just on that good side, that 51%.
Absolutely. Great advice.
That's a really good point about balance. That's a really, really good point because everyone's balance is different. And, you know, we'll all go to these motivational seminars and listen to nutritionists and psychologists and all sorts of people because real estate is a relentless industry where we're well known for burning ourselves out. And so, you know, everyone's trying to find the balance. The balance does not exist. The balance is what is right for you.
Yeah.
You know, like my balance is spending 19 hours a day on my phone. Okay. That feels right for me. Call it crazy. Call it what you want. That's my balance.
It's working.
Your balance is something else, Sam, I'm sure. Okay. Mark's balance might be something different.
It's my birthday, yeah.
But, you know, the reality of it is don't be so hard on yourself. Your balance is your balance. If you want to meditate for 4 hours a day and work for three, good luck to you.
Yeah, if that works. I mean, yes. So what you're saying
is, if it works,
you do you.
Yeah.
If the shoe fits.
Yep. You do you. That's a good one.
I know. That's
I like that. It's dirty as well. I like it. Yeah.
All right. I think it's time. Are you ready?
So ready.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mark. Happy birthday to you.
Hip hip hooray.
Hip hip hooray.
Hip hip hooray.
Mark and Lisa, thank you so much.
That was so fun. Thank you, Sam. Thank you.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.